This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Giant fans collectively held their breath last night for a few moments, wherever you were watching, whether you were at MetLife Stadium or at home. And also, did we see the final appearance of Tommy DeVito in a Giants uniform? We'll get you set, obviously, for all the games tonight. Max Fried on the mound in the Bronx, round two, Yankees, Red Sox, and the Mets are down in Atlanta, which is also round two for Nolan McClain after his excellent debut. 888-808-1019 is the number, the big topic of the day. As we talked about a few days ago when I said the winning streak for the Yankees against the Cardinals and Rays was fool's gold, whenever they step up in competition, all their warts, all their flaws come to the forefront. And it bites them in the fanny, and it's their Achilles heel. And we saw that on full display last night. The 3 errors in an inning, 4 errors for the game. And they continue to play just awful, embarrassing baseball against the elite teams in the American League. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Rory and Patchogue. What's up, Rory?
Hey, guys. Just another frustrated Yankee fan here who thinks Aaron Boone is a loser. But before I get to my point, I'm just curious, Tommy, are you excited for Sean to come back?
That's an interesting question. Am I excited for Sean to come back?
It was like a half pregnant pause there.
Yeah, because I'm wondering, like, Sean, my friend, or Sean, my coworker, which one?
Well, I was just thinking, I bet you probably miss him farting in your mouth every morning.
What? Now, who told you that? That was supposed to be a secret. Did he tell you that?
Sean Marash is going to make me his board op for his entire life.
That was something that we share as friends that have known each other forever, that have come up in the business. And I thought, at least up until this moment, Rory, that this was state secrets. Now, only a few other people know about it, so maybe they dime me out. But I'm not going to ask how you got it because I don't think you give it up. But yeah, all right, I guess the secret's out.
Well, but I know you and Tiki have been playing tonsil hockey with each other anyway, so I'm sure.
Now hold on a second. Well, that's how you get mono, And I don't want to get mono. Now are you going to go strippers in my face so I can get pink eye? What's the third one, Rory? and then stop me when you become funny too. I mean, at some point here. So let me guess, you're a Yankee fan.
By the way, there's nothing wrong with that.
What?
Nothing wrong with that.
No, and it's not cheating if it's your dog. Those are called jokes, Rory. So try to, you know, keep up if you can. Let me guess. You're a Giant fan. You hate me for the DeVito take. You're a Yankee fan. You hate me for that one we can't say. So yeah, because I've heard forever that, you know, about my voice. Meanwhile, Mad Dog is a millionaire and Scott Farrell's had a career forever, right. But my voice is an issue.
Right.
You know what I don't like about that one?
What's that?
That was a good call. And yeah. He flew too close to the sun on wings of pastrami.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if he had just not gone the extra, he can't say that on the radio.
All he had to say was, what are those big gumballs?
Gumballs. I think they're gumballs.
Gumballs.
Yeah.
Yes, gumballs.
Yeah.
You steal Evan's gumballs.
Right.
Be creative.
That'd have been good.
Because my thing is this. He went from Sean to you.
To me.
To Evan.
Right.
We didn't even get to Craig or upper management or Boomer. There's a huge list there. Now, obviously, what that caller was trying to do was put down me, that I'm this, that, and the other. But meanwhile, I'm a generational talent, future of the business, got risks for days. But that was his way of being like, you're a nothing, you're a nobody, answer phone calls and hit buttons. Last time I checked, I'm sitting here, though. So, you know, that's just all I have to say about
that. He also wasn't funny.
He was terrible.
He also wasn't funny.
He doesn't like me because I'm not going to go a step further here, but he's probably got a million reasons. Whatever. Mm-hmm. That's his thing, not mine. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Christine in Queens. What's up, Christine? Yellow.
Hey.
What's up, Christine?
Yes. Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Kiki. You say that it's fool's gold. In my circle of Yankee friends, we call it drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay? We didn't drink the Kool-Aid. Last night when Chaz, whatever his name is, Chisholm gets up, Jazz, with a runner
Jazz
on third
Jizzle.
And less than two. Yeah. With a runner on third and less than two out. And he just can't put the bat on the ball because he's swinging like everything to the fences. Bad. The defense stinks. The bullpen stinks. They're terrible.
Not terrible.
They're
and
not.
I remember.
They're not terrible, Christine, but they don't play well in the big spot. They lack focus.
They're terrible.
Well, no, but Christine,
against
now you're taking
it. Teams against the better teams.
Yeah.
They're terrible.
You're right on that part.
I've been a Yankee fan longer than you guys have been alive.
No, right? Come on, Christine. Tiki's really old. Come on.
I'm really old, okay? I've been a Yankee fan for 67 years.
Okay, yeah, you have been a Yankee fan longer than we have. Yeah.
All right? I'm going up to the game since I'm 6 years old, okay? And I remember in the 98, 99, I'm a season ticket holder.
Right.
Sitting in the stadium, down one run in the seventh inning, and my ticket partner's sitting there going, we got this. First batter up, Tino, Jeter, Bernie, base it up the middle. Second batter up, base it up the right. They played the game the way it was supposed to be played.
No, I get that, Christine. And that's the one thing you loved about those teams in the 90s. And it's tough to compare errors, but they did play the game the right way. And that's why they won all those championships, because they did the little things. I think the Yankee fan at this point would settle for just one championship in this generation that we're talking about here of Judge and Boone and Stanton and all that. I don't even think they're even dreaming of a dynasty. They just want to see competent baseball against the big time teams and one championship, and then they will go from there, because there's no way they're going to win multiple World Series with this group, because they just don't do the little, they're unfocused, they're undisciplined. It's a country club. And when they meet the big opponents, they fail. When they get to October, if they face an AL Central team, no problem. No biggie. But when they face the good teams, not so much. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Jim is in Mount Sinai. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. I know you're going to get on me for this, and that's okay. But, you know, I'm listening to these Yankee fans, and everyone's complaining about how bad they are and how much they stink, and they should be playing better baseball. And, you know, how many Major League Baseball teams are there? 30?
Yep.
How many teams make the World Series? Two?
Yep.
And they made the World Series last year, and they lost, but they made it. Okay? And, you know, complain when you're a White Sox fan or an Orioles fan.
Yeah, but Jim, that's not, hold on, Jim. Yeah, I know you're a Met fan. That's not fair.
The comparison's different.
Of course. This is not Baltimore. This is not Kansas City.
No.
This is the New York Yankees, the greatest franchise in the history of sports. You cannot compare expectations of a fan in Tampa or a team in Baltimore, Washington, D.C. to the Yankees.
All right, but let me say it differently then. Okay, as a fan in general, okay, you guys, every year, you know, almost every year, you're making the playoffs. You have something to look forward to. Even this year, we're all, you know, everyone's complaining about how they're playing. At the end of the day, they're going to make the playoffs. You're going to have baseball in October. Sit back, put her on cruise control, and you know, enjoy the season a little bit, the ups and the downs, and know that your team is going to give you postseason baseball. and just appreciate it more than complaining about everything that they do during the course of a 162-game season.
Yeah, I think the challenge, though, with that, Jim, is that you see these things that rear their heads here and there. And we're talking specifically last night, the four errors. And Yankees have multi-error games this year. And you can say, it's a regular season. It doesn't really matter. But what happens when that happens in the postseason? Mm-hmm. And that's what happened last year. And so at some point, you have to correct those little things that you're doing wrong on a daily basis, it feels like. And you can get away with it against the Cardinals. You're going to get away with it against the Nationals and the White Sox. But when you're playing the Red Sox in this four-game set, and this matters. Red Sox are half a game back. And obviously you're fighting to still try to win the division from the Toronto Blue Jays. And it's the same little thing.
Right.
It's throwing errors. It's Goldie not being able to get the ball out of his glove. It's Jazz sailing into the first row.
Like, no intensity, no focus.
Right. Like, those things bother you, not because it's the regular season, but it bothers you because you know it's going to happen in the postseason.
The Yankees are 4-13 against the Red Sox and Blue Jays. They're 6-17 against Boston, Toronto, Detroit, and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, there was a lot that was made of the Yankees' road to the World Series, which I think people took offense to because it sounded like, oh, you're trying to slight the Yankees or you're trying to take away from their accomplishment. That's not the case, but the facts are the facts. They had a very smooth and easy road to get to October. That will not exist for them this year. The American League is a lot better than most people projected it will be. And when you look at the teams like the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, the Tigers, and the Astros, these are clubs that the Yankees are going to have to face come the postseason. They are 6-17. And a caller brought this up earlier. Yes, the regular season, Evan says this all the time, you could throw out the regular season records against a team come October. I understand that. But the reason the Yankees are 6-17 against those teams are for everything we've laid out. Bad defense, bad base running, bad focus, bad intensity, bad managing. Are those things going to fix themselves in the next 6 weeks? Why would they? They haven't fixed themselves in years. So what would make anybody sitting here believe it? And not only does it have to fix itself, you know, starting in October, night in, night out. Yeah, they may have a game where they play great defense. They're going to have to string together how many games in a row to win a chip or win a championship. How are they going to do that when they can't even do it at all during the regular season, consistently? I haven't seen anything or any evidence that would make me feel that way. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Gavin in North Jersey. What's up, Gavin?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just bring something up. I mean, since we're in the mood right now to be pointing fingers, obviously, if you know, the Yanks win out the series against the Red Sox, we'll be having a different conversation. But since we're on more of the negative topic, someone that I feel like hasn't been getting the finger pointed at them enough is Jazz Chisholm Jr.
Chaz Chisholm?
Pressure on both. Yeah, Jazz gets, he's been getting some criticism, but not enough, not as much as he deserves, right? We're all over Volpe. When Volpe messes up, we're all over Goldie. You know, at these high expectations he set for us at the beginning of the year, obviously not living up to those expectations later in the season. But you have Jazz Chisholm Jr., who is tied with Anthony Volpe for the second most errors in the MLB this season. No one's pointing the finger at him as much as he deserves to be pointed at. He doesn't have the right attitude when he's at the plate. He's swinging at pitches like he's trying to hit a home run. Just like the last caller said, there's a guy on third, no outs, swinging for the fences. He's not doing his job. And I do think he's bringing some toxicity to that dugout. I really do. He comes to these games, and he doesn't have that attitude like he wants to play. It's half off his head. He doesn't have that energy that the exciting Jazz Chisholm had last year when we first got him. And I really do think he's bringing a negative energy to this team.
Thank you, Gavin. Appreciate it.
The challenge with that is that he's a good player.
Great player. I mean, okay. Let me say that. Right. He has the potential to be great.
Right. And he feels like he... It feels like he has potential, but we all know this because it's cliche across all sports. That potential becomes a bad word when you don't perform. And so, like, you see it and you're expecting it and it doesn't happen, you get really frustrated by it, and especially again in important series and important games like it was last night. And so is it fair to judge guys off one night or a couple of nights throughout the entire season? No, but you kind of want your guy to be great. And it's why he's here. It's why these guys are making so much money. You want them to be great. And then they're not doing it consistently enough. And so you end up coming to a determination, well, maybe he's just not great. And if you know that certain guys aren't great, then you know you don't have a chance to win a World Series. That's why you get frustrated by it.
Yeah, I think you take the good and the bad when it comes to Jazz Chisholm. But I will say this. That moment in Miami against the Marlins, to me, is the poster child moment for the Yankee Country Club this season. That base running, whatever you want to call it, and then his comments after the game where he doubles down was worse. And that, whether you say Jazz is toxic, this, that, and the other, I don't know that. I would lean no on that perspective. And this is the one thing where I will push back on this, because I did it with Lindor too. For me, I'm 40, I have a backwards hat. I do not give a rat's ass if the players all wore their hats backwards, pierced their ears, colored their hair pink, and wrote their name on the back of their jersey. I would not care.
Chaz Chisholm.
I don't think that means anything, Teak. Right? As an athlete?
No.
This is not 1950. They're not in the Navy. They got rid of the beard policy, and you're worried if his hat's a little bit to the side? That's ridiculous, and I just will never go there, and I think a lot of the hate for Lindor was like that. Because he colors his hair, his ears are pierced, and he's not a ball player. Mm-hmm. That's BS, because he proved you wrong, and I think Jazz could do that too. However, that moment in Miami, he should have been benched because of what he did, and even worse, what he said. And they didn't do that. And that's where the Yankees and Aaron Boone had a moment, and they passed on it. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Don in Oceanside. What's up, Don?
What's up, guys? Just to that last point, for some reason, I feel that Chisholm is more of a rental player. I feel like Volpe, he's a homegrown guy. They're trying to squeeze Jeter's position into him, and it's just never going to happen. But my question for Tiki, and it's an honest, innocent question, so calm down, Tommy. do we think that, you know, from the Yankee standpoint, that we dodged a bullet with Soto not signing? And I know he made the team a better team, for sure.
How so?
Well, because I feel like, again, I know I can't count other people's money, but I feel like once he hit the pinnacle of his career, I feel like you have to have a certain fire. Now, you as an athlete, I know that you've had it and have it still, but I feel like once you reach the promised land, you're kind of like, all right, I'm still a stud, I'm still an athlete, but that same desire to wake up and do the extra kind of goes away a little bit.
Yeah, but I can't assume, and appreciate the question, Don, but I can't assume that Juan Soto all of a sudden doesn't care to take the next step to being great, like an elite great, an all-time great. Because I think he does want to do that. I think he does want to hit all those milestones. And a hard thing in baseball is that as much as it is a team, it is an individual sport. Like there are individual moments when you have an important at-bat. It's an individual moment. When you corral a ball 250 feet from home plate, you got to make the throw. Like that's, it's a moment, right? And it's your chance to do it. And I think he wants to do those things great. They're just not happening right now for him. Will it in the next 10 years? Of course it will, multiple times. And he's going to put the Mets in positions to win important games and maybe even win a championship. So and he's still young. So I trust that with Juan Soto. It's when you talk about the Yankees, though, you start looking at this roster and it's like, man, how many more chances are there going to be for Aaron Judge? How many more teams with Goldie, who had a great start to this season, and Cody Bellinger? Mm. Like, how many more? And Stanton is a prime example, because how many years does he have left? 2 or 3? So how many chances are you going to have before you run out of them? That's why, from the Yankee standpoint, it feels more urgent. From the Mets standpoint, Juan Soto, I'm not worried about it. Right, as Evan, as Tommy has detailed multiple times, you're still trying to figure out who you are as a Met. What's the identity of the team? It's still kind of developing and merging together. The Yankees have been this way for a while, and so I just worry that you're going to run out of chances before you have to start it all over again, and that doesn't feel like it's an option for the Yankees right now.
So the caller brought up the Jazz, the way he wears his hat, and I get crap all the time for wearing my hat backwards. You know who else wears his hat backwards? Cody Bellinger. He has a supermodel wife. So that's the boat I'm in, and you're on the boat of grow up. Okay.
My wife is a dingbat.
That's irrelevant, but she is. 888-808-1019. Speaking of Teak, You like violence, right? I mean, like when you wake up, you want a little violence here?
I do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
I won't say specifically, but there was a caller on the board that did not get on. But their topic was, there is a certain someone that should replace me. Certain someone that's out there in the world right now.
I'm coming home.
Let me just say this. I am the executive producer of a radio show, so I don't think that certain someone would want to replace me as a producer.
If he embarrassing.
If he wants that job, he could have it. And let me just tell that caller this, and for everybody out there, that certain someone will never, ever, ever admit this, but that certain someone loves what I do on the radio.
All right!
And on social media. He'll never admit it. So you think that by going after me, you're, you know, making, you know, favor with him. He loves me.
Blah, 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 blah.
888-808-1019 is the number to call. Let's go to Mike on the fan. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Oh, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I don't want to be the guy to jump on the whole Jazz has to go thing, but you guys realize his splits in the ninth inning? What he bats in the ninth inning?
No, tell us.
Because a caller earlier in the day, I was listening to Brandon and them. They said he should have been pinched hit for last night, but he and Brandon went nuts and said, you can't pinch hit for him. He's been 0-32. In the ninth inning, his on-base percentage is like a .110. He is an instant out. And if you've got him batting fifth behind Stanton, they're just going to walk. There's no way they're pitching to Stanton. They're just going to bring in a lefty and face Chaz. It's a death sentence sending him to the plate in the ninth inning. It's horrible. I watch every single game, and this has just become a brutal nightmare of mine.
Well, Mike, don't let it be a brutal nightmare, but I understand the sentiment. And yeah, I mean, Jazz has, I think with the Yankee fan, and this could be for a lot of fan bases, but I've noticed this with the Yankees, is that they tend to have one or two public enemies. So you obviously public enemy number one, but it could be one, it could be two. This season, it's been Volpe and Devin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And all the, and obviously it's always Boone and Cashman. That's just Peter Griffin versus the chicken on Family Guy.
But they're not playing.
As far as the players, it's Devin Williams, it's Anthony Volpe. So I think Jazz has kind of got, and look, he's had a good year, all-star, the whole deal, but he has kind of gotten a pass here because those guys are getting all the shrapnel. And right. now I think
and
that
they deserve it, by the way.
Beyond deserve it. But, you know, yeah, if you bring that stuff up, like his, you know, batting average in the ninth inning, or and the play I continue to bring up where he should have been benched. But that's more on, see, he did a thing that he shouldn't have done with the base running, and then he doubled down afterward, which was worse. But that's where it was on the manager to bench him. Send a message to him, because when you don't send a message there, why would any other player feel like there's going to be any kind of accountability? Because it was none for Jazz. There's none for Volpe. There's none for Devin Williams. There's none for anybody. And by the way, and I brought this up earlier, there's no accountability for Boone, meaning he doesn't get fired. So why would any of his employees, which are the players, care? Because there's no accountability for their boss. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Andrew in Lawrence. What's up, Andrew?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
We're good.
Yep.
So funny, whenever I have something that I think about 10 other things while I'm on the hold. I just wanted to bring up 2 points and tell me what you think. You talk about accountability. And maybe Kiki, just because you are, you know, you're a professional
right.
sport.
But
how can any player in any sport have accountability when they're making more than their manager? And when it seems like the managers are more figureheads than anything, I'm not going to say in any sport, but it seems this way as the years go on, where analytics and all that other stuff comes into play. So when you want to take someone out or ball them out when they do something wrong, it will just never happen because of what they're making or how they're perceived as a manager. And I just think that it goes into the whole attitude of sports. Like, you're talking about the Yankees. I'm a Mets fan, so I'm not going to – but I'm just saying, like, the Yankees were the Yankees – when they won 25 championships like 20 years ago, they're a whole new team. So I don't get also why, like, when, even as a Mets fan, I'm not going back to say they were like 86 because it was so different back then.
Right.
I think people don't understand the perspectives of reality, and they get caught up in the fantasy of what really could happen to what really does happen.
Yeah, I think it's different with the sports. I think hockey and baseball are kind of similar. So much of it is dependent upon the athlete to do it in real time. Football, you're getting directed on what to do. And you just have to go execute the vision that's every single play being dictated to you, right? Tommy DeVito was fantastic last night, and we'll get more into the Giants in a second here. Mm-hmm. But he was unbelievable.
Yep.
Why? Because he executed exactly what he was asked to do. They ran a bunch of RPOs last night, and Tommy DeVito reading the read guy, whether it's a linebacker or a safety, he's reading them, pulling the ball, throwing darts right on target to his wide receivers. He's executing what the coach is telling him to do. In baseball, it's like, all right, I'm putting you in a position. You're batting third. You're in a clutch moment. It's on you to perform. Like, the manager can't do anything at that point. It's all on the player. Whereas in football, it's kind of like, I'm going to call a play that's going to put us in a position to succeed on this particular play. Go execute. Baseball's different than that. So much of it is individual player-led as opposed to coach-directed. That's the difference between the two sports. So they're not all the same, but they are. They're similar, but it's so different in football.
As Tiki just alluded to, we will get into the Giants coming up in the next half hour. Jackson Dart, why he knows it, his mama knows it, Brian Daboll knows it.
And yes, your makeshift shirt, necklace, whatever the heck it is you have on your chest, knows.
Sheet of paper here that we can get into later. It says start dart. By the way, I made you one too, Tiki, by the way. Start dart. So if Tiki wants to put this on his chest, he can do that. You carry way more weight than I do. I'll admit, I carry basically zero weight. You carry a lot more weight. So I did make one for Tiki as well. I will continue to wear the start dart shirt because I want him to be starting in week one. But he did something last night that even bothered me, and he's addressed it. We will get into that. Plus, was last night the final act for Tommy DeVito in a Giants uniform at MetLife Stadium? When is the next time we are going to see Jackson Dart on a football field? And as you could tell, if you're watching on SNY here, I have the start dart sign taped to my shirt here. A little arts.
Not going to happen.
Not happening. Not happening in week one. I'd love to see it in week one.
I think Tommy DeVito has a better chance to start in week one.
For which team? For the Giants?
That's a good question.
For the Giants? We'll get to him in a little bit. And why, you know, I think they're going to break my heart twice here, the New York football teams. But so the deal with Dart last night, obviously, It was all set up. That felt like the Jackson Dart game. Like, if you're going to that game, you're like, oh, we're going to get to see right. Dart. It's going to be
play
fun.
For a quarter and a half.
Right. Right. And we got robbed a little bit because of the concussion scare, mm-hmm. I guess. But to me, look great again. If Jalen Hyatt could grab a ball, he might even have had a couple of touchdowns. Obviously, had the one TD. The biggest thing from that, and we brought this up earlier in the week with Francisco Alvarez, and I love that Jackson Dart is a physical runner. I love that he can, you know, take a contact and he's fast, the whole thing. He knows it because he put it out on social media. His mom was interviewed, his parents, but his mom really said it during the game. And Brian Daboll knows this as well because he said it. And that is, you either have to slide, you have to get your hands on the ground, you have to get out of bounds. You are the best when you're available. We can't have you hurt. So I think Jackson Dart had an early lesson there. It's always a teaching lesson, and that is you can't be reckless on the football field because it will shorten your career and you just won't have availability, and he's got to be smarter than that, because I think I speak for everybody when we were like, oh boy. Now, in all likelihood, start Dart. It's not going to happen in week one. But the last thing you want is in the final preseason game is for Jackson Dart to go down with a head injury, because you never know when a guy can come back from that. You could lose a season with a concussion.
No, you definitely can. And he didn't have a concussion, obviously, because he was cleared relatively quickly. But this was on the 23-yard carry that he had, and was ultimately he fumbled it, and it came back, thankfully.
The holding.
Yeah, the holding. But, you know, Jackson Dart, it was funny because him and Tommy have gotten close. And so they interviewed Tommy after the game, and we were doing the post game, me and John Schmelk. We were listening to the podium conversations. They did Dave's right away. Then they had Jackson Dart, and then they had Tommy DeVito. And they obviously asked Tommy about Jackson's carry, his 23-yard carry. And he said, it was funny, and he's right. He said, Jackson's the kind of guy that's going to learn from personal experience. Meaning, he's going to do that a couple of times or once and get hurt, and then he's never going to do it again. And so the follow-up was like, well, what would you advise him to do? And Tommy was just like, slide.
Slide. Like, exactly.
Slide? And it's exactly what Dave said afterwards. And I get what Jackson was trying to do, because he wants to be a playmaker, mm-hmm. right? He wants to be someone that this team can trust and rely upon to be a solid quarterback and hopefully a great quarterback, but also just make some ridiculous plays, humongous plays, and that felt like one. The challenge is that he was trying to do something that he's not used to doing, at least not on this level, trying to split two defenders, as he said. But when you slow down trying to split a defender, because he slowed down to try to beat the corner, you know pursuit's coming. Like, those linebackers, or I think it was actually even a safety, who are sitting in the box, and they're chasing you, man. They're coming to full speed. And as soon as you slow down, you're getting crushed. And he's lucky that he didn't have a concussion. I think he's even luckier he didn't, like, separate his shoulder, because he got driven down right on his right shoulder, his throwing shoulder. And I think upon reflection, that is, watching it via tape, he realized he just slid.
Yep.
Just slide.
Yeah. Slide.
Slide.
You got to get down next time. I think back to Eli Manning, who arguably was the worst sliding quarterback or quarterback to slide in the history of the NFL. I remember he could not slide. Right. Like, he would just fall.
Yeah.
He looked like somebody that got shot in Call of Duty or Halo. He would literally just be running, and then he would just go
fall down. Right.
And I think eventually he got better at it. I'm sure Dart knows how to slide, but with Eli, it was just, he didn't have the ability or the mechanics to slide, where I'm sure Dart has that ability. He wants to, you know, in college, it's a little bit different, even though there's some big boys in college, but this mm-hmm. is the NFL. And we talked about Abdul Carter with his welcome to the NFL moment against Stone Smart and the Jets.
Right.
That felt like a Jackson Dart welcome to the NFL.
It did.
You got to slide in this
and
league.
And he got away with it because he didn't get hurt, but he's got to be smarter than that. If you are going to be a starting quarterback in this league, you can't take direct hit. You can't do it, right? Lamar Jackson gets away with it because he never takes hits.
Mm.
Josh Allen gets away with it because he's built like a freaking house.
Well, he hits the person.
Well, exactly.
Allen creates the contact and initiates
it. He runs like a running back.
And he's bigger than defensive players. 100%. Josh Allen is in a totally different ball game because he's bigger than the guys that are hitting him.
You're right. And so it's a learning experience for Jackson Dart, and I think he did, because he came out today via social media and said, yeah, I'll be smarter in slide.
Yeah, absolutely. 888-808-1010. 1-9. We will get into whether or not that was the last time we will see Tommy DeVito, at least in a Giants uniform.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
At MetLife Stadium.
He did play great.
I'll say this. Watching Tommy DeVito throw TDs to Tommy Tats was like football porn for
me.
I mean, if they could just find a way to keep every single person named Tommy on the team, I'd be good for that. Let's go to Peter in New Jersey. What's up, Pete?
I was wondering what you guys' take is on this four quarterback situation. I was all set on it until last night. DeVito comes out, you know, and plays like Montana.
I'm curious
what Tiki and what you guys' take is.
He was playing with against a lot of the third stringers. To the Giants' offensive line credit, he had a ton of time. But also, if you were watching or paying attention closely, it was a completely different offense than what Jackson Dart is doing and what Russell Wilson has been doing, even what Jameis Winston is doing. It was a lot of RPOs. He's sticking the ball in the belly of the running back. He's reading what the coverage is. And to Tommy's credit, he's gotten really good at diagnosing, right? He's gotten really good at seeing, all right, this is cover three. They're dropping into a zone and there's someone coming to fill the running lane. I better throw the ball here.
Well, he has the most knowledge of the offense. Even Joe Shane brought him up when we interviewed him at camp.
100%. And it's why I would love for them to find a way to hang on to Tommy DeVito. You can't keep four quarterbacks. Unless you're the Cleveland Browns.
Wow, they have like seven quarterbacks. I feel like the Jameis Winston offense is, Jameis, do whatever you want, we'll hold our breath. The first play when he came in, he just let it rip and threw the touchdown pass. Right. With Jameis, it's just like, we're going to close our eyes, we're going to turn our back. Jameis, just do whatever the heck you want. We trust you to a degree. That's the offense with him.
Exactly,
it's just, it's fun to watch, but there doesn't seem to be any sort of, you know, organization when he's on the field.
Look, the thing I take from all of the quarterbacks, I think that was essentially the question, is that Dave's has coached and Shea Tierney and obviously Mike Kafka, they have coached these guys to be risk takers, but be risk takers with a certain degree of caution. And so don't do anything stupid. We don't want you to turn the ball over. And by the way, in the games, three games I think Tommy played last year, he didn't have any interceptions.
He's right? always been good with that. He's safe with the football.
He's safe with the football, made really good decisions. But I like their quarterback room. And I think one of the reasons the Giants have a chance to be better than people are expecting, I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs or winning double-digit games, but they're not losing out. Like, I see some of these social media videos like, oh, the Giants aren't going to win one game. Look how tough the schedule is. It's football. All the games are tough.
By the way, Tiki, I'm so glad you brought that up here, and we got a little business we got to take care of, but I'm so happy you said that because I heard on the broadcast last night, I'd like to make a show decision here.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the Evan and Tiki show going forward should ban any statement the Giants have a tough schedule.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing about it.
We all
know it's tough,
right?
But like, we don't know that though once the season starts,
100%.
Correct?
The Washington Commanders could regress to their mean, their historical mean, which is not good.
And the Giants have owned Washington throughout their career.
The Cowboys could be, I don't know, an emotional disaster because of how this whole Micah Parsons thing is being handled, and Dak Prescott coming back from being injured for most of last season. We have no idea. Mm-hmm. The Giants could very easily go 2-0 to start the season. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not even going to think about predicting it right now, but they are better, so much better than they have been in previous seasons, simply because of how robust and effective their quarterback room feels and how they, quite honestly, have played in the preseason. There have been all those guys, all of them led scoring drives. All of them made pretty good decisions, save for the Jameis Winston interception. You have a safety in the middle of the field. Why are you throwing the seam? It's a two-way route for Bo Collins. Safety's sitting in the middle of the field. It's closed. He's going to break out. Jameis Winston throws that was intercepted in the end zone. That notwithstanding, the offensive line played better, and all the quarterbacks, for the most part, made pretty good decisions. They're in a good spot right now. Now, that being said, Tommy, Jackson Dart is not starting. Take that stupid sign.
Why will not?
Off your chest. Because
no.
Jackson Dart is not going.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To start. He's not ready to start. I know it feels good, and I know you want to be like the Commanders and with Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. I know you want to be like the Houston Texans with C.J. Stroud and the Denver Broncos with Bo Nix. It is not going to happen because right now, let me have that. I'll put it on.
Start, dart. Here, I spelled everything right.
Yeah, I'll put that right.
Hold on a second. Now, Tiki is crumpling up my start, dart. I spent at least 35 seconds putting that together.
I can't believe you actually fell for that.
Yeah,
I can't believe you actually gave him the paper.
I know. I might go over there and rip that one off his chest here in a second.
Because it's Tiki. I wouldn't have thought. Now, do I think that he would have just looked at it and handed it back to me? I didn't think he would crumple it up. This is Tiki.
See, I told you today, I'm just like yesterday, I'm choosing violence.
He's choosing violence.
NFL Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I would encourage you to look out for Andrew Catalan on Paramount Plus, my former play-by-play guy. He's awesome.
Now, let me throw something out there to you, Tiki. So you don't like my idea. Well, it's not that you don't like it. You are saying there's no shot that Jackson Dart starts in week one.
No chance.
Okay.
Not a chance in hell.
And the caller just brought up the fact that the Giants have a problem, but a good problem. They have four starting quarterbacks, and there are a ton of teams in this league that would take any one of them, and that includes Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
In all likelihood, you can't keep four quarterbacks.
No.
Unless.
Unless one's on the practice squad, but if he's on the practice squad, he still can get taken.
What if you set up a four-man rotation like in baseball?
Come on.
Okay?
Every 5 days?
Everybody wins.
five days rest?
Every 4 or 5 weeks. So, Russ, you get the first couple. Then Jameis gets the next couple. Then my main man, Thomas Calogero DeVito, gets the next couple. And then we finish it off with the rookie, Jackson Dart. He gets to learn from Russ. He gets to learn from Jameis. And let's be real.
You sound like a fool.
The friendship / bromance / next season of Love Island between Jackson Dart and Tommy DeVito cannot come to an end. Like, I envision them getting an apartment together in Hoboken, and they invite me over every weekend, and we go party in Jersey. I cannot, under any circumstances, see that go to the wayside. They are besties. They're best friends. You can't take away your most prized possession, your future quarterback's best friend. So either DeVito's got to learn specials, or he's got to be a player coach, or you could adopt my four-man quarterback rotation for the Giants. Everybody wins.
A better idea is that he ends up on the New York Jets and lives in Hoboken with Tommy DeVito, and it's like crosstown rivals sharing an apartment overlooking the Hudson River doing Tommy DeVito and Jackson Dart things. That's more likely to happen.
They got to get on the new season of Love Island. I need that in my life, but I need it as both of them as Giants quarterback. Now, let's take a window seat to Giants training camp sponsored by Windorama's First Down Deals, 30% off your installation project. And I'm going to put said Tommy DeVito in the window seat. Let me first off by saying this. If, in fact, that was the last performance by Tommy DeVito at MetLife Stadium in a Giants uniform, that game that DeVito had, and you were there, Teague.
He was great.
I'm going somewhere else here.
Uh-oh.
Monday Night Football, Green Bay Packers, the DeVito parents, Big Tom, the agent that looks like Junior Soprano, Tommy DeVito mania, the apex of it.
Right.
That one good pass he threw.
That game was one of the great moments in the history of the Giants.
And history?
I know it seems nuts now because everybody wants to blame Tommy, both Tommies, me and the other Tommy, for Jaden Daniels being a Washington Commander. But that's such 2020 hindsight and revisionist history. Tommy DeVito, a local kid that went to Syracuse, that grew up around here, took not only the world by storm, New York by storm, they were showing the DeVito family more than they were showing Taylor Swift in the audience. That's how crazy it was.
Right.
And that night specifically, that win with a standalone game under the bright lights, in my opinion, because I can still remember how it was that night and the emotions we were all feeling, that was one of the great moments in the history of the Giants franchise. Well, it was that special.
Well, no, it felt like maybe the nightmare's ending. That's why that was an important game, but it didn't end the nightmare. That's the unfortunate thing, because the following season it just became a disaster with the injuries to Daniel Jones, and then ultimately they released him in the middle of the season. It created more chaos and it created pressure on Dabbs and Shane, and we all know that because the conversations we had all throughout the back half and the latter half of that season. But it's interesting because when you have a real plan, and it felt like Joe Shane had a real plan this offseason, and that's all you can evaluate him and this team going forward off is what have they done since last season ended? It's all check marks. You're winning all of these things. You won free agency and to your degree. You won the draft because you drafted all dogs, football players. And so far in the preseason, or really it's over now, but they scored 107 points, 34 points, 31 points, and 42 points, right? So the thing that has plagued this team, and it's been a while since we felt optimism for this team, feels like it's in the nascent stages. Now the season's still, got to happen, and they got to do it when it matters. But this offseason feels like they got it right.
And the reason why, and you're 100% right, the reason why the Tommy DeVito stuff stuck was because of everything that they leaned into. The Tommy Cutlets, his heritage, being from around here, he's a good fella. He's one of us. Right. His name is literally Joe Pesci's character. And people get on me for this. That's not his name. Tommy DeSimone is the real life person. Tommy DeVito was the character name in Goodfellas. That's the Giants starting quarterback. It felt like one of us was there. Your neighbor, the reason she's so rich and famous is because she leans into that Jersey Shore, and she's made a global brand of it. If Tommy DeVito ever took off and was the Giants starting quarterback for all these years, which is what I wanted, he would have been the biggest star in in this town. Look at what he did in just a few short weeks. How crazy that was.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
Sean said it. I've said
it. Is Sean crying in that clip?
Yeah, basically.
Or he was doing his video voice. He has video voice. He has I'm hosting voice. I have third wheel voice. He has different voices he does. I like to just give you the same voice, which people think is annoying, but at least it's consistent. That night to me was just so special. Now, as far as what's going to happen, unless the Giants go to that four-man starting quarterback rotation that I just pitched, in all likelihood, or they trade Jameis, which they've already come out and said they're not going to do.
Right.
They are likely going to either put Tommy on the practice squad or just kind of get rid of him. I think it's probably more likely the practice squad. A, that will break my heart. It will break my heart even more. But it makes sense for Tommy DeVito to be a Jet quarterback.
Mm.
And then we can start the quarterback controversy with the Jets that Tommy DeVito should be starting over Justin Fields. Which, based on what I saw last night and based on what I've seen from Fields this preseason, I mean, you tell me who the better quarterback is.
I mean, he's looked better in the preseason. Now, that being said, we have no idea what the Jets offense is going to actually look like.
No chance!
They felt like they
BT would be into it. He loves DeVito, too.
They didn't do a ton in the preseason with the starting offense. Talking about the Jets. They didn't do much, right? They kind of just ran the football. They threw some checkdowns. The backup quarterbacks, right? Adrian Martinez and what's the other kid's name? Cook.
Cook.
Cook. They look good trying to push the ball down the field at times. But I can't get a feel on the Jets. Maybe it's just because I'm not around them as much as I am the Giants. I have zero feel.
Well, it's one of two things. It's either they're hiding and it's going to be this big surprise and they're going to put up 30 points in week one.
Which, by the way, is not a bad plan because nobody knows what the Jets are going to look like come regular season. Right? It's a new staff. It's a new quarterback. It's a new kind of system. You hear Aaron Glenn talking about the run game and how they got three really good running backs and all of them are going to play kind of equally. And so you assume it's going to be run heavy, but maybe we're wrong. You know, maybe they start taking shots all over the place.
Because
this
has all been a sort of a ruse, like, oh yeah, we're going to be this run first, and then they're going to unleash their quarterback and their offense on us in week one. That's the first thing. The second thing is they suck and their offense is going to set offenses back, you know, decades.
One other thing is that I believe Justin Fields said earlier this week that he's okay throwing 8-yard dump offs if the Jets are winning.
Yeah, I thought that was.
And I think
that was
either Aaron
Glenn or Fields.
Mm-hmm. And that was Justin Fields. I think he's okay because I think he knows his limitations. There's a reason he's been on a few different teams, right? So I think this is going to be 75% run, 25% throw. 15 throws a game, maybe, for Fields?
Yeah, but when the 25% throw is 7 or 8 yards, your defense either has to be elite or mm-hmm. you have to have, you know, Tiki and Brandon Jacobs back there to, and this is not a slight on Allen or Hall, but I mean, it's going to be tough to win football games with that formula in the modern NFL.
In today's NFL, you're right. You're 100% right. You got to score.
Yeah.
You just can't, I mean.
The threat of the downfield pass has to exist.
Trying to win 10-7. It's hard in today's NFL.
Right. The Giants showed you that with Daniel Jones. He couldn't mm-hmm. throw the ball down the field anymore. They couldn't win. So, I mean, and he could run. Saquon could run. Or when Saquon wasn't there, they still were always a running team. Now, for some reason, Mike in Manhattan thinks Evan and Sean need to wear L's when they return. Mm-hmm. Why is that the case, Mike?
What's up, boys? Happy Friday.
Likewise.
I think, you know, given this whole Mets-Yankees debate that happened on, what, June 13th, if I've heard it enough times.
That's correct.
I think that, you know, the way that both teams have been going, I have an idea. When they come back, you know, Evan loves these little games. I have an idea where, you know, you got a Jet fan, you got a Giant fan. Both of them wear the L's. Once their teams get their first wins, they can remove those L's. I would love to get your thoughts on that.
Well.
Oh, you mean football team?
Is that where they were going, football? Mm.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, meaning they should wear the L's for their debate. But they to be fair, that you know, did that debate to try to fix things, and it did work for the Yankees.
It did.
They went on a winning streak, right. And the Mets did go on a 3-game winning streak. So,
I mean, it did work. Mets won 3 in a row. Yankees won 5 in a row.
Right. So I think that I think everybody...
We're absolved. We're all absolved.
Everybody, this entire show is free and clear of that. Plus, you know, the Jets might not win a game for the first couple of months, and we can't have Evan wearing the L. Also, and I'll say this right now. If Tommy is not on the Giants this year, I have to wear an L. I know that. I don't know for how long, but I absolutely will have to do that. So I might be the one wearing the L.
Until he signs with another team.
And then I'm going to, until he signs with another team, you better sign the Jets. But is Woody Johnson on line 1? Daryl Moogie on line 2? Need him there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.